I think the 12 steps are applicable to any human problem. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over blank, in this case of Alcoholics Anonymous, alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. So we could substitute anything. We admitted we were powerless over sexuality, sexual promiscuity, flirtation, involvement with other people for the excitement and the kick of it all. So you can substitute, and mankind has substituted all kinds of things for alcohol. But it was discovered alcoholism was hopeless. And once you were diagnosed with alcoholism, you just prepared to die of it. There was no cure for it. So AA discovered, we admit we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. So you're admitting that you're powerless over controlling, and in this case we say it's alcohol, but in other cases it's whatever it may be. And then the second one is, after admitting you're powerless, you came to believe that a power greater than our personal selves could restore us to sanity. So something greater than your own personal willpower. And that power, of course, eventually you discover is divinity, but in the beginning, people may not believe in divinity, so you don't have to believe in divinity. You tell them, well, the power of the group is greater than the individual. So a group can solve things that an individual cannot solve. Anybody who's been in the service remembers that. To go out there on patrol by yourself is different than having two or three buddies with you. Came to believe that a power greater than our personal selves could restore us to sanity. Whether it's the rest of the crew or the rest of the group or the rest of your workforce and the other people in your company, that all of you together can handle things that any one of you can't handle alone. So then the third step was, having realized this, we made a decision to turn our personal will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So turning over to a higher power, that which you lack this power within yourself. Step four was we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the purpose of that will show up in the next few steps. So we want to get rid of guilt and unconscious guilt. So we make a fearless mental inventory of ourselves. And then the next step, five, we admit to God, ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, the value of confession has been validated for thousands of years. Once you have admitted and discussed with another human being the exact nature of your wrong, you've reduced its capacity to be destructive. Having shared it, there's some magical change in the brain chemistry about it. So before and after you discuss it with another human being, your brain chemistry is different. So if people want to poo-poo all this based on their intellectual belief systems, it's okay to do it, except that you cannot change the fact that the person's brain chemistry has differed. The brain chemistry. Sharing it with God, another human being, changes your brain chemistry. And the change in brain chemistry enables you now to go where you couldn't go before. Number six says we are entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. So we're admitting our limitation and our dependence on a greater power. Number seven, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Well, that seems sort of ridiculous, doesn't it? If you don't believe in God, humbly ask God to remove your shortcomings and you don't believe in God. It doesn't say came to believe in God and then ask him to remove our shortcomings. It says humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. So there's a certain amount of faith in that. So the group says, hey, everybody, we tried that and it worked. So the skeptic says, well, if it worked for you, it could work for me. Number eight says, made a list of all persons harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So that's to get rid of the obvious unconscious guilt. That if you've harmed somebody, you're willing to make reparations, willing to try to undo the damage you've done. Obviously, that restores some of your degree of your self-respect and gets rid of some guilt and self-hatred. Step nine, we made direct amends to such people when we could, except when to do so would injure them or others. So we confessed it to another human being, we turn it over to God, and we make amends whenever possible, when it's practical to do so. And step 10 says we continue to take a personal inventory And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So it's talking about inner honesty. Inner honesty. When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And step 11 is a great one. It says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. And we pray only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. So these all, again, reinforce humility. And humility, contrary to popular opinion, is empowering. People think of humility as becoming like a worm, and it's quite the opposite. Humility is empowering. When we admit that in and of ourselves alone we do not have sufficient power, we then are empowered by some greater energy field than the personal self. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles. So there's an acknowledgement of the great power in going through these reparative steps. This has worked for many human problems that were futile and hopeless. In the older days, if you are a gambler, you died in poverty. If you're an alcoholic, you died in convulsions. If you're on drugs, you died of drugs. If you were a criminal, you spent the rest of your life in prison. So it was a major discovery, the way out of, and it came out of Bill Wilson's humility. When Bill Wilson admitted to himself, to another human being, that he was hopeless, that in and of himself, he was hopeless. And he hit bottom at great depth. And when he admitted this at great depth, somehow all of a sudden the room lit up, like a great light lit up the room. And Bill Wilson went through a spiritually transformative experience. That profound experience has affected the lives of millions. Millions of people have recovered their lives. Now, Bill, at the time that went on, because I knew Bill Wilson very well, at the time that experience came to Bill, Bill was an atheist. People had told Bill, if you believe in God, Dr. Silkworth had told him, if you believe in God, it'll help you recover. And he poo-pooed. He says, well, I don't believe in God. And then he faced the fact that he was now hopeless and helpless. And then he said, if there is such a God, I ask him to help me. And then the room lit up, room lit up. And I know other people who, when they've contacted God, had the same experience of illumination of the room, that the room lit up. It's like the radiance of the sun shone through them. The presence of the Holy Spirit went right through them. And people that I know extremely well have had a similar experience, transformative, the experience of the presence of God.